Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast 2020 style, and I'm not talking about my vision, I am talking about the year we are in. It is unbelievable. Remember when people would say to you, that will happen in 2020, and you thought that year will never ever arrive? Well, it has, and the Cats are in the midst of their 2020 preseason. Ben Casanelia back with you for another year of the Cat Attack Podcast, thanks to Kurz Hire. Great to have Kurz Hire back on board for this season in what promises to be what I would suggest is a very, very interesting one. Tom King is riding shotgun Thelma and Louise style. Kingy, right off the bat, what are your expectations for the Cats this year?
They'll play finals. Beyond that is anybody's guess. I still think the list is talented enough to finish in the top eight, and I said that last year. I was surprised by their start, but I wasn't surprised they finished... Well, no. If they had finished top four last year, I wouldn't have been surprised. I was surprised they finished minor premier. I think they overachieved at times last year, but then I think they underachieved when it came, when the whips were cracking. And obviously we've dissected that ad nauseum in September last year. Probably not time to go over old ground, time to look at ahead. And I would say, Benny, right now, the window we know is closing on the Cats' premiership hopes. The club would probably argue differently and have reasons for why they don't think that the window is closing. But when you look at the demographic of the list and the ages of those who carry the load of the team, that's when you know that the clock is ticking.
I had somebody suggest to me... And I have, to be honest with you, I've over and out for me for footy. I've had sort of a few other things happen. I haven't really thought a whole lot about the footy since the Cats.
I was going to say the Cincinnati, your beloved Cincinnati Bengals. They went bad ever since your main man went down with the injury.
AJ Green.
Didn't that happen in August? And you knew then. You go. No. This season, there is before it started.
Do you know what though? There is the greatest silver lining in
Joe Burrow.
Yes, he's the great Joe Burrow, the quarterback of LSU.
So he's going to go from being a tiger to a Bengal.
I can't remember in the history of football. I don't care what code. No player has had the season that actually forces a team to take this guy number one.
Yep.
So if the Bengals don't take him number one, they might as well just close the doors and shut the show up, because he has done. He, even if you got him and he wasn't playing as advertised, there's nobody on the planet who thinks they shouldn't have taken him pick one.
Yep.
So it's got to take him pick one. That is a silver line. I can't wait for that to happen. I'm excited. It's 94 days until the Bengals will announce Joe Burrow as the first pick in the NFL draft, which will be very, very exciting. But getting back to the Cats,
yes.
I had somebody suggest to me, and I reckon the conventional wisdom with footy is that once a team has a really poor final series, and I reckon the Cats had overall, they had a really disappointing final series.
Disappointing would be the way to describe it.
To go in with no injuries on top of the ladder, the Collingwood game was a calamity.
Yep.
The West Coast, and
they picked up injuries in that.
They did, and then the West Coast game obviously was a good win. Yeah. West Coast had Willie Rioli saga, issue wasn't great for them. Anyway, it was good for the Cats to beat them, and then 21 points up, lose to Richmond. Obviously, the whole Mark Blitzov's on the wing, all that. Mm-hmm. We get all that. So you'd say it was a pretty poor pre-season, a pretty poor final series.
Yep.
So the conventional wisdom is that, the team will bounce back. Oh, they'll bounce back from, they'll be stung by that. Somebody suggested it's very difficult to get yourself up from that. Mm. You've put everything into last year. You've put yourself into the position where anything less than a grand final appearance was going to be a disappointment. You don't get there. Mm. And then it's hard to actually back up again the next year. So it's a really going to be... And Geelong obviously clearly think that premiership window that you spoke about is wide. In fact, it's so open that it's like a bus driving between Delhi and Pakistan, that there's actually no windows on the thing. It's just because you don't go and get Josh Jenkins and re-sign Gary Rowan, Gary Ablett, Harry Taylor, Jack Stephen. If you don't think you are right in the, and then rookie list Lockie Henderson, you do not do that unless you are right in the wheelhouse. Well, they are putting, it's an all-in effort.
They only got rookie Henderson because the departure of Abbott. If Abbott hadn't gone, Henderson,
they could have got a kid, couldn't they? It's called. There's something called the future.
Mm. Mm. Well, they'll argue that they did have five picks and they've drafted fairly young. So everybody they've drafted bar one is basically straight out of under 18s.
But it's an all-in move to get Jenkins and re-sign Taylor and Ablett.
Yeah, but they've been doing all-in moves for a number of years now.
They have, but the club
going back to Dangerfield.
The club won't say that, though.
No.
I mean, they did have... You mentioned those draft kids.
That's why we are here, Benny. That's why we...
Well, we see things slightly differently, Kingy. And then we... But because we're not in the inner sanctum... I'd love to be in the inner sanctum. I don't know where that is. If you do you reckon you go to a footy club and then someone says, look, over there, that is the inner sanctum.
Is that like when you say you're somebody's down in the bowels of the inner sanctum?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to be down there. I had my dog done yesterday. The little Apollo, right? He's a grudel. And he's fed.
What?
He's a grudel.
What's a grudel?
It's like a cross between a poodle and a Labrador retriever. So he's not that big. And he's having his first haircut yesterday. And unfortunately, he proceeded to just narn all over Mr. Bow Wow's van. He wasn't happy with the clippers running over the top of his carcass. And the next thing you know, I see there's four towels out in the street. And I had to question the mayor, say, what's with the towels? And he goes, your dog has shat all over them. So I said, surely there's no increased cost for this, is there? And we're on the base flat rate. And I tell you what, that guy, Mr. Bow Wow, who I know him, it's actually Eamon Burke, who's a lovely fella. He left our house yesterday and he's never, ever coming back. Poor old Apollo.
He's deleted your number from his phone and blocked you at the same time.
100%.
So the Cats, there's some injury issues. The skipper's a bit behind. Mitch Duncan's a bit behind. Tom Stewart's a bit behind. Our man, Jake Colajasny, is a bit behind. We find out today Stefan Ockenbore has ruptured an Achilles at training on Wednesday. So that's a bit of a blow as well. So the Cats might be... And Tom Stewart faced the media Wednesday and... Thursday. And put a line through him for the March series. So he will be... There'll be a couple of Cats underdone come round one and they're going to play the Giants in Sydney.
Well, that's another issue, obviously, on top of the layer of how do they respond mentally from last year. Is it the fact that they are going to hit the ground not running in terms of players potentially underdone? So,
whereas last year, they had a fairly good run with, other than the skipper carrying whatever he was carrying for the majority of the season. Yeah.
He's been carrying the team usually, for 10 years.
It wasn't a shoulder injury this time, though. The Cats had no excuses last year. And they don't have excuses this year because they believe they have the depth in the list.
Well, they've recruited to have depth. Yep. They've,
I think. Do you think Jenkins or Stephen can have a positive impact on the team?
I think Jack Stephen can. If he's fit and decides he really wants to work, he's a good player. His skill level, he'll kick a few clangers, but he's a real ball terrier.
Yep.
He can kick you a goal. He's got a bit of zip. If he's in fine fettle. And he's focused on footy. Yeah, I think he can be a really good addition. I'm not sure about Jenkins. I've said it. I just hope that they're not going to play Radaglia in the ruck because I don't think he's a ruckman. His skill set is too good to waste in the ruck. He should be up forward. He needs to play up forward consistently so he learns his craft.
So can Jenkins, Radaglia, and Hawkins coexist?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, 100%.
So
no.
Why would you go and get Jenkins?
Well, I have no idea.
The only reason you've got
he's going to play Radaglia in the ruck.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't see the wisdom in that. Hopefully, we'll be proved wrong. I mean, and the other thing too, Kingy, was I left the final series thinking the one positive was Jake Colajasny. Now I know he's injured at the moment, but you probably wouldn't have foreseen that. He had a really good final series. He had a really poor final against Collingwood, but he bounced back and he tailed up Darling and then he tailed up Riewoldt.
Yep.
In the prelim. So he put his hand up to be Geelong's number two defender for mine.
Yep.
Behind Mark Blitzarves. Colajay's in 193, can play a little bit taller than he is. I mean, Alex Rance was only 193. Scarlett's about 192. So you don't, and he can play a little bit taller. So he was ready to go as your second key defender. Harry Taylor got exposed in the finals. It was time to, I just thought it was time to hang them up. Now, I'd love to be proved wrong. Harry Taylor's been a wonderful player for the Cats, and I hope he has a great year. The only concern, does Harry Taylor get shielded a little bit playing at GMHBA where the ground is a lot narrower? Mm. He has a great ability to read the play. That's his real strength.
Runs the angles
so
well.
He doesn't need to move as far, but he gets exposed on the bigger grounds. Now, if that happens again, we get to the finals a year on from being exposed the previous year.
He's a year older.
Yeah. I just wonder, the other thing I wonder about is, and even re-signing Gary Ablett. I mean, he's been phenomenal. A phenomenal player for a long period of time.
I don't disagree giving him one more year.
My theory on that is that he didn't have a great final series. He became just another player. And when was the last year you said that about Gary Ablett?
14, before he got hurt.
He was just another player out there. You didn't really notice him. Yep. He's 35.
But he still last year was all Australian squad.
Yep.
Kicked 35
goals. Yep.
So,
I hope to be proved 100% wrong and he has a great year. Maybe he was overplayed a little bit last year. That maybe sits out a little bit more this year, so he's fresher, hopefully, coming into the finals. I know that's a long way away if they even get there, but they might utilise him a little less next year in the hope to keep him fresh. My only thought with Ablett is that he now is a pure half forward.
Yeah,
he can't play anywhere else. No. So you've got Parfitt, who's a developing player now with 60-odd games under his belt.
He needs to spend more time in the midfield.
Well, maybe, but he's going to oscillate between the two. He's Did you like that word?
Oscillate.
That's the first one we've used for the year in the Cat Attack podcast, Kerr's Hire Style. Oscillate. Right up there with ointment. And there was another one I thought of the other day driving on the car. Actually, chuckled to myself.
Spasm?
No, spasm's always been. That's just right up at the top of the tree. So you've got Parfitt. You've got an Atkins, who's had a year under his belt now.
He will play mostly forward this year. I had a chat with him before Christmas.
But that's where he's playing in a position Ablett would play.
Yeah, he's going to be your pressure forward.
Dalhouse?
Will be your pressure forward.
Hopefully Cockatoo. Pressure forward.
Finger crossed.
With his injury, he's not going to play on the ball.
No.
So there's four. Then you've also got Gary Rowan. So you've got all these players who have got a lot of experience now.
Menegola.
Well, Menegola's probably more of an on-baller, given his running ability.
I think now Menegola has to go into the mid, especially with Kelly's departure. Menegola will spend a lot more time.
And you've got Myers.
Yep.
So where does Ablett play? Mm. I mean, purely on class, he's got all those guys covered, but he's 35. I thought it was just time to throw the keys to other players, give them more responsibility.
Look, you almost wish the sub vest still existed, because Gary Ablett would be the perfect...
Imagine Gary Ablett running through the banner in green. That would be...
But at this age, having him impacting... When the Stings got out of the game, you bring him in halfway through the third quarter. He's fresh, ready to go.
I just wonder, too, whether the club have said to those guys that there's no guarantees about you and our senior team.
We've got a special guest that we have to give a phone call to.
Have we?
The great 30's on the line, Benny.
He might be able to answer the question. Who was the 30 before you had 30?
Craig Bittescombe.
Also, did he play at South Bowen as well?
He did. He went and played at South. I think he won a couple of flags there.
Came up from north somewhere?
He went to Richmond after the Cats.
That's right. But is he originally from up sort of north of Victoria somewhere?
I'm not sure where he was from. But yeah, he went up to the Tigers.
He had a little bit of red around the block and tackle, didn't he?
He did. It worked out pretty well because I was number 41 for my first year, and then he got the flick, so it worked out really well.
Oh, I could imagine it did. It's
number 30.
No, he was from the Gippsland Power.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
How did he end up at South?
He's actually back. He's doing some. He's done a bit of work for leading teams and stuff with his leadership stuff. So he's helping our women's team out. So he's back doing a bit of work for the club, which is good.
Plays a bit of cricket at Bowen Heads too, I think, too.
Saw him. Yeah, I think he was all right at cricket.
There you go. Hits him all right. Yeah, we are talking with Matthew Scales. Go, thank you for joining us on the Cat Attack podcast. The first thing we just want to touch on, with the news came through today, Steph Ockenbaugh's ruptured an Achilles, which is a massive blow because all reports were he was having a pretty impressive pre-season.
Yeah, shattering news for him. He was going really well, mate. It's a really sad incident just happened. Yesterday, about 5-6 metres in front of me in one of the drills we were doing. He was sort of charging out of the back line and went down, and there wasn't anyone sort of around him. He thought that someone had kicked him from behind. So straight away, it looked like a really painful and serious injury. But look, he was on track to to feature in our pre-season games, and almost been spoken about that he was half a chance to maybe get a game or two this year in the senior lineup. So he's going really well. It's devastating news for him, but knowing what he's like, he'll rehab really strongly and be back. But it's a really nasty injury for him and really bad timing.
The old shot from the grassy knoll, JFK style injuries aren't good, are they? When you go down, there's no one around.
Nah, and he was flying. Like, he's a super athlete. He was charging out and hit the deck, and you could tell straight away it was a serious injury. And it was sort of fingers crossed yesterday, preparing for the worst. But yeah, got the bad news. So he's going to need a lot of support over the next 12 months.
Scarlett, we like having a bit of fun on the Cat Attack podcast. What annoys the crap out of you about pre-season? Just overall, player, coach, what do you think? This is just rubbish. Is it the fact that everybody says they're flying?
It's the long warm-ups. The warm-ups that the strength and conditioning coaches roll out. Hour and a half warm-ups and then only give us 40 minutes to train the boys, like, skill work, what they need. So they warm them up for an hour and a half.
There's not enough regions on your body to stretch, is there? How long would you...
But they're finding new things to do and new ways to test them out before training. So, look, back in my last year, it was getting pretty bad, but it's gotten a lot worse. They're finding new exercises and all stuff that's useless, I think.
What was your longest sort of stretch? Could you actually touch your toes?
No, I can't. Nowhere near it. I'll just like the old jog a lap and then into it type of warm up, but they warm up forever now.
But you, ironically, you really weren't plagued by any soft tissue injuries, were you, when you played?
No, I was really lucky. I remember being on one of the Australian tours over in Ireland, and we'd just finished training, and I was sitting next to Craig Bradley, who wasn't a great fan of stretching, and he just said that he hadn't stretched much in his career, and by then he played 500 or 600 senior games. So I thought, if he's not stretching, I'm not. And then I never stretched really after that. So I was pretty lucky that I never did some significant hamstring injuries.
I reckon there might be something in that too, because I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure you'd be able to enlighten us. But I imagine that Darren Milburn and Andrew Mackie didn't do a whole lot of stretching either.
Nah, they were pretty reserved in this many games. There might be something in this.
You're right. No stretch, or the no stretch rule. You might want to stretch. Yeah. It depends what you're up to, though. It might be another sort of pastime you need to stretch it out a little before you launch.
Yeah, I think so. You're right, yeah.
Hey, Matty, what question are you sick of being asked in pre-season by journalists?
Maybe, I don't know, who's training the house down probably gets asked a fair bit, which you can sort of understand, but it's obviously really early to tell, and how your team's even going to perform. It's too early to tell, I guess, because you're not sure how the other teams are tracking. Seems as though every team's fine at this part of the year, but you're really unsure on how your team's going to play the next season. You hope that we're going to be a really strong team. You are really unsure as a coach. Yeah, we're trying to do our bit here, and we think we're going okay, but you're unsure of the improvements of the other team. So, look, we think we're tracking okay, but it's too early to tell what kind of team we're going to be.
Scully, you had a lot of accolades across your career, and people talk glowingly about you. I don't reckon I ever heard anybody say you were trading the house down.
Probably not, mate. I was smart. Tried to time my run nicely.
That's what you want to do. Time your run. What did you get up to in the off season? Do you go away? And what is the assistant coach?
I've gone over to the States. So went over to America with Dasha Milburn and a few mates.
Yep.
Over at Las Vegas, we like going over there and having a bit of fun, and then through LA and West Hollywood. So done that the last couple of years, which is good. We have a bit of fun over there, as you could imagine.
Stretch the elbow a bit.
We did, yeah. We had a good time. We went to West Hollywood first for 5 nights and had some fun there, and then hired a car. One of my mates drove down to, we drove to Vegas from LA. So we had a bit of fun there. Went with Simon Farrell was on board. Long Amateurs president, so he was he got the votes. Yeah, I've never seen a drinker like it. I've been on a few trips, so he was solid.
Yeah, I could imagine. Old Grossi wasn't on it as well, was he?
He was on it. He paces himself nicely. He sort of looks after us all. He's our chaperone.
Yeah, he'd be on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, he was solid. He likes to get to Vegas and play on the tables a little bit. But we have a lot of fun on those trips. So
did you get to any sport?
The Steelers played a game over there. A couple of the boys went out. The stadium's like a little soccer stadium where the Chargers are playing. So me and Hendo, we just watched it, one of the sports bars there. So Hendo spent a few nights with us there, and then a couple in Vegas, and We actually had a night out in Sandocketty. He was over there as well, so celebrated his birthday. Hendo's pretty close mates with him, so it was good fun.
Gallo, you're obviously looking after the back line again. A couple of your boys are just a bit behind the eight ball in Tommy Stewart and Jake Collar-Jasny in regards to where they're at with their pre-seasons. Does that mean it's going to give some opportunities to others in the March series?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Look, Stewart is doing pretty well now. He was out there training today, so he might be on track to maybe play the last pre-season game, but definitely round one, he'll be fine. Collar's, he's a bit slower. He's had the operation, so it's highly unlikely he'll be there for round one. So what it has done is given opportunity for guys to train down there in the pre-season, like session after session. So some of those guys like Zach Guthrie and those boys are playing really well down there. So I'm not sure how the lineup's going to look for the pre-season, but it does give those guys opportunities. It's not ideal having your best players off the park, but it does give opportunities for others.
Where's Sam De Koning been training?
Down back, yeah, he's been doing a little bit down back. Those first few guys, sort of, they get eased in the training. So he hasn't done a hell of a lot of work, but when he's been out there, he's been in the back line. Mainly with when we have a sort of our starting 18, he's been up the other end with some of the other young guys working on his defensive craft. But he looks like a really good young prospect. He's really tall. He's going to need to put on some size and some strength, but you can see his AFL, his attributes. He reads the footy really well in the air. He's going to be a really good key defender. He marks the ball really well and he backs himself and he uses the footy well. But he is really tall. He's a big kid. So hopefully he can develop into a really good key position prospect.
What are we going to notice different about the Cats this year, Matthew? When we get to the March series, what are we going to see and go, okay, that looks a little bit different to last year?
Well, look, most of our games in pretty good order, we think. We did a lot right last year. We feel like our players in our front half were superb at locking the ball in our front half and causing those turnovers and giving the team genuine excitement. So we still want to be one of those teams. We feel like our on-ball brigade are really good around the contest, really good at getting the ball forward. And behind the ball, we defend quite strongly. We just maybe want to try and speed up our ball use at times from the back half. Find a couple of players down there that can sort of break the lines and get it going through the middle of the ground a little bit. So we're not going to change too much. We do a lot right. What we didn't do well in the prelim was just play that way for four quarters. So we just need to play a bit better for longer. That makes sense. So it won't be drastic changes to our game style. We've got a lot of strengths in our team. So it's just about utilising them and not trying to copy any other team.
Who's your favourite player, Scully? Who's your favourite player in Geelong? Every coach has a little favourite. Who's it?
Always asked me this the other day. I think Collar. Collar's one of my favourites, maybe my favourite. Just he does a job for the team every week.
Yep.
Low maintenance, trains hard, beats his opponent every week, doesn't chase the accolades, got a really good balance off field. He likes having a good time, likes having a beer, likes to party at the right time. Good looking bloke. He does a lot right. So he's just no fuss.
Yep, he's right. He likes going to... Did you go to New Zealand or something? He might have got... He had a big time down there too, I think.
He goes well.
At some stage.
And he goes really well.
Who do you like? Who do you like watching? Who's one player you like watching from another club that you just think, you know, he's not necessarily a star, but who's a player you like the way they go about it?
Not star. Well, state and obvious. I think Dusty, just watching him. I went to the grand final and just watching him lift his game in finals is unbelievable. I think last year he's sort of cruising for the first half of the year and then he starts getting really serious. And then towards the end of the year, finals time, he's just an unbelievable footballer. So I just sat in the crowd on the final day and just admired how he went about it on the big stage. But yeah, I think a lot of people like Dusty, but he's probably my favourite.
Him
and Buddy. I love Buddy. Buddy's the same. Just how he's great to watch.
You go on top of the tree there.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
There's no Craig Bitterskins amongst those two.
No, there's not. Who else? Who else? Like? There's probably... ask me another question. I'll try and think.
Who do you...
People will answer it.
Do you and Boris, you're obviously your great mate, Corey Enright, do you, now that you've got to do this sort of media stuff, and back in the day, it wasn't really your thing. You just like playing and then going home and having a beer and whatever. Do you ever get together during the week and say, oh, look, I've got to do this press conference on Wednesday. Why don't you this year need to get one word in each press conference each that you got to do and try and get that word in? like a something that's a little bit left of centre.
Forrest said that before. He wanted me to get a wowee and he wanted me to get a BT, but I think everyone tries to do that now.
Yeah, no.
When I played, obviously didn't like you blokes very much.
I wonder what we did to you.
Well, you did heaps to me at school. Probably can't say anything on air.
You need to get words in like margarine or spasm or something that just doesn't make sense.
We might have to start talking about that stuff, but what was I saying? I'm busting it now.
The player, your favourite player.
You guys.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of guys that were self-promoters and wanted to do media anyway. Like Mackie would put his hand up to do everything because he was an average footballer, so you had to get his name out there.
He's obviously standing next to you, is he?
No, he's not. He's on holidays. He doesn't do much. He'll rock up for about round five.
Yeah, right.
Straight into the club like he's the CEO. But those guys, like self-promoters like him and Stevie J, they just wanted to do media and talk themselves up. I was just no interest in that.
You were just happy to do the team things.
Yeah. Well, I had the good deal with Digo that if we lost.
Do you like doing...
We're going to be a good team for the next 5 or 6 years. I just made a deal. When we lose, I'll do media, so
yeah.
I only have to do it three times.
Well, that was the only upside of losing. We actually used to get to talk to you. But do you enjoy... I know you're going to say yes, but do you enjoy the coaching? Because it seems like, you know, when we're only outside looking in, that you've been really good at developing the players individually down back. You know, we've been able to see that O'Connor's improved. You know, Colajasny, you mentioned him. He's improved each year. Tommy Stewart. You know, you've got Jordan Clark to work with. You've got guys who you can visibly... And then Mark Blitzarves obviously sort of plays all over the place and then goes down back and becomes an All-Australian. Just that individual sort of coaching that you're able to do, is that the part that you really enjoy?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And I think I'm really lucky with the guys that we've got down there. They're all unbelievable people that buy into most of the stuff that I ask them to do. They're all team-first guys and really easy to coach. So I certainly don't want to take most of the credit. They do all the hard work and you just try and guide them in a way. And all those guys that you mentioned, like Jack Henry as well,
yeah.
You mentioned him, like they're ripper people, high-character people. They work really hard for the team, so they're really easy to coach. So I feel like I've got a pretty easy job to guide those young men through it all. And then I think just getting those boys to play together as well is something that I enjoy. There's the individual coaching and then trying to get them to stick to a plan on the weekend and play together and obviously nullify the opposition's forwards, which I've always liked to do. So I like the planning of it all. And obviously when you see them performing on the weekend, you get a bit of a thrill out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And the strength of the team over the last couple of years has been, well, the most consistent area, in my opinion, has been the defence. So that's speaking volumes. Last one before we let you go. Thanks for joining us on the Cat Attack podcast. Is every season a team has a player who gets a new haircut. Who's the player that we should be looking out for who's maybe just gone with the Fred Astaire, something a little bit different?
At Geelong. Who's got a new haircut? Jack Stevens got a ripper haircut. I'm not sure what it is. It's like a mullet, but then he's got the rat's tail.
Yeah,
he sort of had that a bit last year. But I like his hair. I like looking at it. Looks like it hasn't been washed in a long time. So
it's okay.
He's got a good haircut, but other than that, I'm not sure who else.
No one.
I hope Brian Myers cuts his hair shortly.
Yeah,
those dreadlocks. He's going to be watching all his vision in 20 years, all the highlights, just with that haircut, thinking how bad it is. So I hope he cuts his hair.
You had a little. You're a little bit of a sort of a. Curly top Fred Astaire arrangement back in the day too, didn't you?
I did. I had the curly hair, but dreadlocks are just—they're terrible.
Not for you.
Dreadlocks, nah. Shane O'Ree had them. Nigel Lappin back in Brisbane, so they're just—they're quite embarrassed when they look back at their old vision, which is understandable.
Do you reckon Moons looks back? What about Moons looking back at some of his hairdos?
Yeah, ordinary tips. Lingy was bad when he thought he was a surfer and. Put the white tips through the red hair.
Oh, no. He went the Caribbean gold.
Ordinary stuff, isn't it?
It is. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck for... no doubt we'll talk to you at times throughout the year and you'll absolutely love it. We'll try and maybe flick you a text of a word you need to get into the times when we do
all
talk
right,
to
mate.
You, which would be absolutely ridiculous. Good on you. Thanks, mate.
That was great to talk to Scarlo.
Oh, it's fantastic. The 30.
Yeah, the great... his name's not Matthew Scarlett, it's just... The 30.
The 30, yeah.
The 30. Just some questions have come through from our friends on Big Footy and Twitter.
Yep.
Aussie Sparky. What's the schedule for Cockatoo? Is it a round one return or a good month or so in the twos first? They'll be conservative. I'd be shocked to see him in round one.
He's training well, though.
He is training well. How's Fort going? Is he giving Stanley a run for his money, or is he still just depth? Training well, Darcy Fort, from all reports.
Everybody's training well.
And did split Reece Stanley's eye open at training.
Did he?
Five stitches for Reece, couple for Darcy.
Yeah, right.
In a ruck contest.
Everyone's training well. That's
really are they going to change the game plan to get it in quick, or you just heard Matthew Scarlett say that quicker ball movement is something they are working on?
Well, it's easy to say, but it's a lot easier.
How has Sean Grigg been around the club? I'm not sure. But has been brought in.
His best mates with Dusty.
To play a role. Who has been the standout on the track and which young player is looking promising? There's been a few standouts on the track. Jack Stephen has been impressive from what I understand. So they're back in behind closed doors. They did a bit before Christmas at Deakin where you could watch. Now they're back at GMHBA.
Do you ever get taken in behind closed doors?
No. Alcoa Cat, the burning question for me, how important is a strong ruck performance to our chances? Oh, crucial.
Well, yeah, you'd hope.
And if so, if it is critical, do we actually have the capacity to perform in this area? Well, I think Reece Stanley's best is good enough.
Look, the fact that I don't think the Cats have a huge amount of faith in it in Reece Stanley if they're going to get Josh Jenkins, because that would mean that we, as we mentioned, Radicalea probably playing up forwards in the ruck. Sorry, so I don't think the club has a huge amount of faith. He's when he plays well, he can be a handy player. The unfortunate thing is he just doesn't seem to be able to generate any consistency.
Who is the best ruckman on Geelong's list?
The best ruckman?
Yep.
Well, that's a three-pronged question.
No. Who is the best ruck? If you were naming the Geelong 22 to play round one now, who would you have starting in the ruck?
Probably have to have Reece Stanley.
Thank you.
Who's the best ruckman in terms of who I'd like to have there? In terms of just his physicality in the ruck, is
Radicalea.
But I don't want him in the ruck because his skill set is unbelievable.
You might not
at
get what you want, Ben.
No, I'll never. Well, it just sounds like home.
Sounds like home.
I suggest, why don't you try this one? And I get you no chance.
Cat to the future. Welcome back. Exciting, means footy is on the way. Breaking into the midfield unit looks hard. What's a pass mark for Chook for games played in 2020? If he's found some leg speed, he needs to play.
He's not going to find leg speed.
Well, he's got some running capacity that will help him.
He just needs to probably be
smarter.
No, I think he's a very smart player. Smarter with his running, but I think he's smart with his running. If you're getting it 30 times in the VFL, you're smart with your running. I think probably defensively, working back the other way, and he needs to build a bigger tank so that he can work both ways more efficiently. But he's the reason he's got to where he is because he's smart. Mm. He's football savvy. That's what he is.
Who, if any, of our 2019 draftees do you see playing seniors this year? I'd only be guessing, but I would love to see Francis Evans because I just want to have a Frank playing for the Cats.
Francis Evans. That was extraordinary. Great. Yeah, look, I don't know. I have known nothing about the kid, so I couldn't give you any insight.
Cooper Stevens may need a year to... He was the Cats' first pick, but he might need a year because he didn't play last year at all.
Yeah, he's a big boy though, isn't he?
He's well put together.
He's well sort of...
Yes.
He's well endowed on the body front, isn't he?
Daz Broncos. I'm neck deep in Grammys right now, so I'm a little distracted from footy, but need to know, Kingy, how was the trip stateside and did you manage a few days in Vegas, sans family for yourself? Went to Hawaii, got four nights in Vegas. Fantastic. How is Sam Simpson and Jacob Kennelly travelling? Jacob Kennelly has been one of the ones that's put his hand up. How's Jack Stephen fitting in? Very well. And let's get Benny on the record with the number one pick in the 2020 NFL draft. The Cincinnati Bengals select
Joe Burrow.
Benny, that's fantastic.
Can't wait for that.
For those who came to us on Twitter with questions, we will look to answer them further down the track. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Benny has to get to the bank.
I'm going to go and bank the millions.
From the Valley of Fun.
Yes.
Benny.
From the Hellfire Club.
Good fun.
Yeah, it was. Cat Attack podcast, Kerr's High Style Kingy, fantastic. Looking forward to another bumper season of analysis of the Pussycats.
We are going to have an AFLW podcast. Renee Gehring's going to join us each week. And, of course, we've got Marsh Series. And we're doing the Bushfire game as well.
We are. I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be a whole lot of fun, that game. Absolutely. We'll let our hair down.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisome dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr's Hire.com.au.